Mets. Todd's life has been championships, and Mike's have been regrets. Apples and pinstripes from spring train until fall. Apples and pinstripes, they're talking baseball. Apples and pinstripes from spring train until fall. Apples and pinstripes, they're talking baseball.
It's episode 16 of Apples and Pinstripes. Hello, everyone. My name's Todd Emanuele, along with Mike Borkowski. Can you hear me, Mike?
I hear you.
Oh, okay, good.
Hello.
It seemed delayed as I started the recording process here. Bear with us with the touchy Wi-Fi situation. I think everyone in the world is on their devices all the time now, so if you listen to any podcast or any shows anywhere right now, you hear the signal cutting in and out, whatever. It's extremely annoying, but there's nothing we can do about it right now. So just bear with us. And if you can understand 75% of what we're saying, it's a victory for us. So welcome to the show. How's everything going in the Borkowski house during quarantine, Mike?
Well, I guess the same as everywhere else.
Well, you guys are all healthy, like, though, right?
Yes, we're all healthy. Everybody's good. Thankful for that. And as I've said before, it's business as usual for me. I've gone weeks at a time without leaving my house many times when there was not a quarantine or a worldwide pandemic going on. So this is the old hat for me.
Old hat. But, speaking of old hat, how about that new hat on your head?
What a sec. We did not plan that either.
Nope.
I got a new hat.
Woo. Look at that thing.
Got a new hat. It's a 7-line hat. They just came out with a bunch of new hats. I don't even remember how many, like double digits, I think, of hats a couple weeks ago. And I love this LGM hat. I have the sweatshirt. It's one of my favorite sweatshirts. It's just a circular logo with the crossing bats, and it says LGM, and then it's got the Mets NY in there. It's a royal blue hat with orange and white logo there. And, 3930, of course.
Of course. I was heading there next. That's a nice one. So when did that one come in the mail?
You know what? 7-line has always been pretty amazing. I ordered this, I can't remember, it was about a week and a half ago. I ordered it on a Tuesday, the day it came out, or it was released online. I think like within an hour and a half of my order, I got a shipping confirmation.
Nice.
So I ordered it on a Tuesday morning, and I had it Thursday morning at my house. So,
wow.
They are very cool.
That is.
And you know what? That is... That is not, what am I looking for?
I don't know.
That's the norm for them. That is normal for them. Every time I've ordered from them, it comes within a day or two.
That's not like anywhere else. I'm sorry. That's amazing. Everywhere else, it takes like a week to get stuff, especially now. But especially now, to get that within 2 days is amazing. So kudos to the 7-line guys. They must have people sitting around waiting to ship stuff out too. You said they're always like that. That's just amazing. I just have my Yankees 5950 high crown on field hat, on field diva, hashtag on field diva. I'm boring. I didn't get a new hat.
All the nice hats that are out there, and you're still just, you'll only wear on field, huh?
I only wear on field, yeah. I mean, I wear those, the Collegiate Baseball League hats. Those aren't, I mean, they're on field though, but they're not like 5950s.
Right, but Yankee hats, you will not get any sort of like.
I have a 3930.
No, I have this LGM hat, like you. And everyone is stealing the LG movement, by the way. The Mets were first with the LGM, and now everyone's, I see LGY, I see LG Orange, LGM.
They don't sell hats to say that, though.
The LFGM, everyone's taking LFGY, LFG, everything.
You're just saying that because I stole that last year.
I saw you post LFGY, and I'm like, what? Get on.
Yeah, man. That was clever. Yankees don't sell stuff with that on it, though, like the Mets do. It's the Mets thing.
Not LFGM, anyway.
Well, that's true. You
go pay Pete Alonso his royalties.
Oh, did he start that?
He started the LFGM.
Oh, good for him. He likes the black uniforms, too.
For you kids out there, the F stands for fun.
Fun, that's right. That makes perfect sense.
Let's fun go Mets.
Fungo.
Yeah, Fungo. Let's go play Fungo.
Practice your infielding. The Fungo. Oh, man. All right. So, yeah, that's our hat situation. Our family's healthy and safe, I guess. We're living in a house with a dog, a cat, and a rabbit, and we're learning quickly. And we've known over the years that some of us have allergies, but the allergies right now are, like, flying high in our house because we're all trapped with animal fur everywhere. And, you know, we vacuum and stuff, but there's only so much you can do to combat that. And the kids are sneezing like crazy. And every time someone screams, Corona, no, it's just allergies.
Well, plus, aren't seasonal allergies kicking in about now, too?
Yes, and that's my problem. Like, I'm allergic to some animal furs and stuff, but I take medicine every day, so I've been pretty good. But, yeah, the seasonal allergies this time of year are rough. And it's been really rough this year.
I know this has nothing to do with baseball, but what do you take for the pet allergies? Because I am ridiculously allergic to cats.
I take one Allegra every day, and I have no issues during the day. And it lasts, you know, it's supposed to last 24 hours. I would say it lasts three quarters of the day, and then I just, you know, tough it out until the morning and take another one, and I'm good all day.
What happens to you if you don't take it?
I sneeze, my eyes burn, my ears itch, my throat itches, my eyes get blood red and itchy, it's awful.
I cannot be around cats, and any allergy medicine I've taken that would help with that has knocked me absolutely out, like just gone.
Allegra, have you ever tried Allegra, though? It's never bothered me in any way, and I'm not good at taking medicine, like stuff. Knocks me out, but I just
remember when I was like a teenager, I went over to my brother's apartment and he had cats, and I was sneezing and eyes itching and like, oh my god, I was dying, and he gave me something, and I have no idea what he gave me, but I was like, my dad came to pick me up and I fell asleep in the car on the way home, like I was just done. I have no idea what I took.
I bet you it probably was Benadryl, because Benadryl has that. I mean, if you can handle it, it works. But if you can't handle it, it knocks you out. Benadryl, if I take Benadryl, it knocks me right out. I go to sleep.
Oh, my God. I
that's probably
what you took. I'll never forget that day. I was just, oh my God.
Even though you were asleep?
Instantly, I was just like, whoa. Like, just out.
It was probably Benadryl. Yeah, and we will take, like, we have Benadryl in the house for the kids and stuff, and they have to, like, snap them in half. They're the chewable ones, and only take a half, or they get knocked out too. So it's interesting. But yeah, allergies are fun right now. So we're all trapped. Thank God the weather's nice today. We're recording this on Saturday afternoon here, Saturday right around noon. And it's going to be a gorgeous day today. So the kids are outside right now. I'm going to join them after we finish this and just hang out there, try to get some yard work done or something just to get out of the house. And it's been kind of rainy and cold the last few days. So it's nice. So we finally
and
have
snow.
Nice,
we've
nice
had
weather.
Snow here in April.
Well, you've had more than we have for some reason. Yeah. Like you had inches. We had a dusting here, but it happened several days in the last week. And it's like, come on already. I know we've gotten snowstorms into May and stuff like that normally. Right. Not normally, but we have many times. So it's nothing shocking. But after all we've been through this year, we just want some nice weather. Give us some nice weather.
And the beginning of April here was beautiful. So now to be hit with snow again when you like a couple weeks ago my wife put the shovels away and I was like, you sure about that? Now we haven't had to shovel because honestly we haven't gone anywhere anyway and like there wasn't really enough to shovel, but still we've had enough snow to where, you know, it's covered the ground and you could have shoveled if you really wanted to, but when you, you see the forecast and it says it's going to melt by the afternoon, you don't bother.
No, it's exercise, I guess you could look at it that way, but what's the point if you're not going anywhere? It's just going to melt away. That's been my philosophy on shoveling my whole life. If it's going to melt, there's no point in shoveling it.
Shovel for the mailman and...
Eh. We had like 2 inches of snow. He can handle it. They're trained for that stuff. Well, anyway, so yeah, that's our lives right now. Everyone else's. Who knows when this is going to end? There's talk of, you know, baseball and stuff, but again, it's all completely out of everyone's control when things are going to happen. The big news that came out. Now we have a special guest today. We're going to get to hopefully in the next 15 minutes or so. We had a player actually who reached out to us, wanted to be on or asked us if we wanted a guest. I'm like, well, yeah, why wouldn't we want to talk to someone that's involved in this? His name is Ryan Fitzgerald and he's in the Red Sox organization. So it's perfect that he's on a Yankee and Mets podcast, but Ryan is going to join us. And I'm just interested to see, I'm going to be super nice to him. I don't think he grew up a Red Sox fan. We'll get to that. I'm going to ask him all kinds of questions, but one thing I'm curious of is how it's affecting how the coronavirus is affecting him as a minor leaguer. Like, what is he doing and how's he keeping in shape? What are his thoughts? Are they going to play? Does he think they're going to play? You know, I've got a ton of questions that I'm interested to ask just to see what he has to say. What were you going to say?
No, that's what I wonder about. Like, you know, yeah, with what's going on, you have major league players and, you know, they make pretty good money. And I'm sure there are, for the most part, those guys are doing just fine. But the thing I wonder about is like, how are minor leaguers dealing with this? You know, it's got to be really rough for them. Not just, you know, staying in shape and all that, but like, what are they doing for money? Because minor leaguers do not make a lot of money. So, like, you can't just go get a job right now, really. So,
You can't, And Ryan is an A-ball player. At least he was in 2019. I don't know what the plan was for him this year, but playing in A-ball, he was an undrafted signing by the Red Sox, so he didn't get any, you know, money up front or anything like that. So I'm curious to see what he's doing and how he's handling it and how all these guys are that are in the same situation he is. It's definitely interesting because it's not like he can just go out and, you know, get a job right now, because where's he going to work? A lot of places are closed. Is he going to go work at a hospital or something like that? I mean, going to put himself out there like that? I don't know. So it'll be interesting to see what he has to say. So that's coming up in a little bit after our break. But the big thing that I wanted to talk about was this Red Sox thing. Now, of course, we have a guest that's in the Red Sox organization, so I'm going to ask him about this as well, even though he may not have any clue, you know, what happened and so on and so forth. But the Red Sox punishment came down. Now, it's been a couple of days since it came out, so I've calmed down quite a bit. Now, I wasn't expecting the Red Sox to be punished anywhere nearly as severely as the Astros, and the Astros weren't punished really that severely. The biggest thing turns out now just to be those draft picks. Now, with the draft being smaller next year, it's really going to affect their draft. But the Red Sox punishment came down, and basically the only person that got any kind of slap on the wrist was the video room guy. And he's suspended for the rest of this season in the playoffs, and then he can't work in the same capacity next year. And all the other people, you know, Alex Cora, the manager, did not get a further suspension. He was fired by the Red Sox, of course. But I want to know is, if he really, and they say he had no idea this was going on. If he really had no idea this was going on, why did the Red Sox fire him? Why did they say, well, he didn't do anything with us. Why did they fire him?
Well, but here's the thing. And I was going to say something, but then I didn't because.
No,
anyways.
There's no thing.
No. Listen, I know you hate the Red Sox, But first of all, and I'm just going to say what they said, because I remember when they had the press conference where they fired Cora. They said, "We are not firing him. We are agreeing to part ways," which you can say semantics or whatever, but they made it very clear they were not firing him. And I think they were letting him go. It was almost like the same reason the Mets had to let Beltran go. Like they just and Cora's suspension comes from his time with the Astros. It has nothing to do with his time with the Red Sox. So I think they just wanted to get rid of the distraction and the attention that it would bring.
I get that. But why? How did he have no idea this was going on? They're saying that this video guy did this on his own with players, and that the managers, owners, nobody had any clue he was doing this. That is not true. That can't be true. How would Alex Cora
not true?
But how is that possible? How could he do that on his own and the manager not have any clue? How? I'm waiting.
I think it's possible. And also, they did an investigation. Todd, where's your investigation?
The investigation is Rob Manfred brushing this whole thing under the rug to get rid of it because it's opening a can of worms for every team. Now, what the Red Sox did is no different than what every other team in baseball does and will continue to do, because there's nothing here that is going to stop them from figuring out a pitcher and catcher sequence and relaying signals to guys on second base. Every team does that. Every team has always done that in baseball, as far back as, you know, this has been a thing where you can steal signs and stuff like that. It's just a part of the game. There's nothing that is going to stop teams from continuing to do this with this quote unquote punishment to the Red Sox, that the video guy gets it, but nobody, it is frustrating.
So what would you want them to do? What would be a proper
Alex Cora punishment? I know Rob Manfred says that they investigated and they couldn't find anything that he was involved with. Why would he go from being the mastermind of the Astros cheating scandal, win a World Series, come to Boston as the manager, and then not continue that? You don't. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. It's just frustrating that for a Yankee fan and someone that's not a Red Sox fan to think that they basically. Well, wait a second. See, you got me all jumbled now. This is a second time offense. They were told the year before not to do anything, and they did something the next year. And they still, the video guy takes the brunt of it for the team. They were told not to continue doing it, and they did and were caught. And they talked about what they did again. Yeah, they didn't use the Apple Watches, but they were using the video room. So is that it? Punishing the video guy and saying it was all his idea is just the end of it?
Well, they also lost a draft pick. They got a draft pick taken away.
A second round draft pick. That is not
that
gonna affect them at all. It's not gonna affect them.
Hey, Mike Piazza was drafted in the 97th round.
Good for him. 97th round. Wow.
I don't know what round it was, but it was a very late round.
Okay. Is there even 97 rounds? I don't think
I
so.
I don't. Probably not.
I'm just waiting now for Alex Cora to be the Red Sox manager in 2021. Even though they took the interim manager off of Ron Renicki's name, I think since their suspensions count this year, because there's no games. Now, of course, baseball could start up and their suspensions would count for the rest of this year. But if there is no baseball, their suspensions count for this season because of the whole agreement. I think that players are getting a year of service time, so it counts as a season. So basically, the suspensions are being counted, even though no games are being played. I don't know. It seems weird to me, and it seems like baseball is trying to just make this go away by giving out something. The commissioner had been sitting on the results of this report for about a month or more, saying it was complete, and he'd release it as soon as he could write it up. Well, that was over a month he took to write it up. What else has he been doing? He's been quarantined just like the rest of us.
Well, they're trying to figure out when they can play. They got to come up with
Stop being the voice of reason. Stop being the voice of reason, Mike.
I mean, they got to come up with plans. All the commissioners have been meeting with, you know, officials and doctors and scientists and, you know, government officials. Oh, and they're trying to.
That's a couple. I know that's a couple of Red Sox emails.
But that's trying to redefine the way baseball is played is just a couple of emails. Hey guys, let's have a Zoom meeting and figure out how we're going to do this.
That's how the rest of us are doing it. They can figure it out. Get Dr. Fauci on the line and they can figure it out. Again, who knows when or if baseball will be back. I've been watching the MLB The Show Players Tournament, which has been awesome. And we were worried that they would mess it up, like the NBA horse thing. But I don't know how much of it you've watched, but I've really enjoyed the players that they have on are great. The interactions, the trash talking, it's been a lot of fun. And now they're putting the rest of the tournament. I didn't get to watch any of it last night, but I know they're putting the rest of the tournament on actual TV. I wonder how that will play on TV. Will people actually tune in? I didn't last night, but I would like to. And have you got to see some of it, right?
I've only seen clips of it, and the stuff I've seen, it was just like the Mets have been posting a lot of clips because Jeff McNeil has been playing. I guess he's been winning a lot too. All I've seen is just clips of him playing and talking to himself. I don't see any of the interaction with the players.
See, I wonder if it's just the MLB network feed then when they show games through their Twitter page or their YouTube page, whatever it is, their Twitch account, whatever it is. They have the screens of both players playing and Robert Flores, who is the host, and the three of them are interacting throughout the whole game. And it's so much fun. I've had so much fun. Why, Brett Phillips from the Royals, that kid's a riot. You know who he is, even though you might not right now. He's the one with the funny laugh if you Google Brett Phillips. It's a riot watching him play against these guys, and he loses it, and he can't catch his breath, and he's laughing, and it's just a lot of fun. And it's something that's filling the time for no actual baseball going on, I guess. Tommy Canley for the Yankees not doing so great. He went 0-4 like the first day, but he's still fun to watch because he's crazy, absolutely crazy. But all right, so MLB The Show, check it out. It's like on ESPN2, Fox Sports 1, MLB Network, something like that. What were you saying?
I know I got an email from the Mets saying that it was going to be on ESPN2. I thought they said Saturday night, but maybe it was Friday night. I'm not sure.
Well, it might be on again tonight. They didn't. All the games from the next round were not last night, so I'm sure they're playing again tonight too. So check your local listings and check it out and see what you think. Maybe, hopefully, it's not just the one guy, because it's not fun to watch one guy play.
No,
you need both guys on there so they can go back and forth.
I went on their Instagram page. I went on their Twitch page, and every time I've tried to watch, it was just one guy talking to himself playing, it's not fun at all. Is that
just the Mets metsing or what? Here, come on, why aren't they getting both the guys on there?
That wasn't. That was that guy from the Twins was playing. I told you about that on our last show.
Oh yeah, that's right. Well, that's strange. Well, everything I've seen has been two players, so. On the screen simultaneously, and it's fun.
I'll look for it tonight and see.
Yeah, check it out. I'm going to try to find it on TV too, so we can watch it. All right. Why don't we take a break? We'll come back and have Ryan Fitzgerald on with us, Red Sox minor leaguer, and see what's going on in his life right now, because I'm sure it's just him sitting at home and preparing for something, but we'll find out what he's been up to. What's that?
We don't know if he's just sitting around. I'm sure he's training somehow.
Well, right. I mean, he's sitting around, meaning he's not going anywhere. He might be going to his backyard to train, but we'll find out. So stay tuned for that. Coming up after this, you're listening to episode 16 of Apples and Pinstripes. All right, back on Apples and Pinstripes. My name's Todd Emanuele, and joining, well, me is, of course, Mike Borkowski, and we have a special guest with us. As we mentioned before, Ryan Fitzgerald is with us. Ryan is a minor leaguer with the Boston Red Sox organization, actually the 2019 Red Sox Minor League Defender of the Year, not too bad, and also a Carolina League All-Star in 2019. So, Ryan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Excited to talk with you.
That's a pretty nice little resume from 2019 that you put together there with the Class A Advanced Salem Red Sox, Salem in Virginia. Now, when you think Red Sox in Salem, I thought like Salem, Massachusetts, but I did some research and found out that it's in Virginia. So
yeah, definitely. I thought the same thing when they told me Salem. I was like, Massachusetts?
You didn't like book a flight to Massachusetts and then say, no, it's in Virginia. You're in the wrong place.
Yeah, no, I would have sent a flight to Virginia, but they booked it for me. So,
oh, that's true. I would think that they would take care of that stuff for you guys. You don't have to worry about booking flights and all that. So, yeah, you were undrafted out of college. You went played 4 years at Creighton University, a Blue Jay, and you had undrafted out of college. The Red Sox picked you up. What was that whole thing like for you? We're playing 4 years Division I college baseball. Think you have a chance, and finally you get that call that you're going to, you know, play professional baseball.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely was it's a long, long journey. Still a long journey ahead. But, yeah, I got, you know, my college degree, which I'm really thankful for. As you mentioned, I wasn't drafted in 2016. And, you know, when I didn't get drafted, I'm kind of like, man, you know, what am I going to do with my life? Like, I know I'm a good ball player. I want to play baseball. What, you know, what can I do? And I, you know, obviously I did some research and found some independent ball teams, and, coming out of Division I college, you know, playing the Big East, I'm like, oh, you know, I'll slide right in. I can play independent ball. Right. And that just wasn't the case. I mean, I had been turned down from so many independent ball teams, and, you know, I'd go and try out for them, and they would say all the same thing. Hey man, you can play, you're really good, but you don't have any pro experience. We can't sign you. I'm like, well, what the heck? How am I supposed to get any pro experience? That's what this is all about. So, I ended up getting lucky. My mom talked to a guy, a Division III college coach at my little brother's high school baseball showcase back 5 years ago. Like, yeah, 5 years now, 4 years or something like that. And so he then told her, hey, I got a connection with an indie ball team, and I think they need an infielder. So he made a phone call, and that's how I ended up getting on the team. just by dumb luck. And I say it all the time, you know, you got to get so lucky in this game. even within the game, you got to get lucky. But being able to play at the professional level, you know, you got to get so lucky. So,
we talked a little before we went on recording, and you you came out and said that you grew up a Yankee fan. Now, when the Red Sox are the team that reached out to you, what goes through your head? You don't care, probably, but what goes through your head there?
Yeah, I didn't care in the least bit. It was funny though. I have two brothers who are diehard Yankee fans as well, and especially my older brother. And I told him, and he goes, "I'm not gonna wear a Red Sox jersey." That was the first thing he said. I literally said, "Hey, guess what? The Red Sox called. They just signed me." And the first thing he says is, "I'm not wearing a Red Sox jersey."
not oh, congratulations. Not, hey, way to go. I'm not wearing a Red Sox jersey.
Yep, that was the first thought that came to his head. Not wearing a Red Sox jersey. Well, so
here's the thing, though. One day when you make the show and you're going to be in that lineup for the Red Sox, your whole family's going to have Red Sox jerseys and hats on. I've been a Yankee fan my whole life. If my son turns out to play for the Red Sox, guess what? I'm going to be a Red Sox fan while he's there.
Yeah, I've talked to my older brother about it. He said he's going to wear my independent ball jersey to the game.
His mind will change. It has to. You got to wear the jersey with your brother's name on it. Come on. Oh, that's good stuff. So, obviously, with all the weird stuff going on right now with this whole coronavirus thing, how is it affecting you, you know, just getting ready for a season that you don't know is going to happen? What are you going through right now?
Yeah, I just saw this morning, too, that the Cape Cod League canceled their season, and minor leagues may be right behind them, so we don't know yet. But Yeah, it's been interesting, especially with a lot of the facilities that I go to are closed. A lot of the places that I train at in the off season are closed. So I've had to get real creative with what I'm doing. I'm actually sitting in my gym right now. I got a little like mini home gym in my basement here. You know, just one squat rack with a couple of dumbbells and stuff, and I get my work in that way. That's not an issue at all. I have, you know, a couple of hitting coaches in the area that have access to facilities that they open up for me. I get to go in there every now and then. I'll hit off a machine, or we'll get a live pitcher in there. So I get to kind of keep my body going at a game pace. But yeah, it's not been easy. Actually, I had my little brother get up on the mound the other day and try to throw to me, and he lasted for about 20 pitches. So it definitely, yeah, you're getting creative. That's the thing, is just trying to find ways to continue building.
Yeah, facing a machine or just your brother pitching to you or anyone else just pitching to you is not the same as a live pitcher, live game experience. So it has to be, I mean, for all of you, you guys got to all be in the same boat where it's just bizarre right now that you just don't know what to do with yourself.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my body clock is messed up. It thinks it's supposed to be playing baseball, you know. And you know, I feel like I need to be getting ready for a game at you know, 6 o'clock, but there is no game. You know, I'm getting ready to play MLB The Show at 6 o'clock.
Right. Have you watched any of the players tournament online?
I've watched a couple of like the highlights on like Twitter and stuff. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, some of the guys are great. I love Brett Phillips on the Royals. When someone gets him laughing, have you seen him when he gets laughing?
I haven't seen him.
He can't stop himself.
No.
Oh man, you gotta look him up. He's good. That's good stuff right there. Andrew Garrett from the Cincinnati Reds wearing his full uniform for one of the games, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, I saw that. That was funny.
All right. So again, the coronavirus is affecting things. Mike, I know you had a question that you wanted to ask about the money situation with minor leaguers.
Yeah, like, you know, a lot of the major leaguers, I'm sure, you know, who make a pretty good chunk of change, you know, during the season, you know, they're probably doing all right. I wonder about the minor leaguers and like how they're getting by, because I know minor league players don't make a lot of money when the season is going. And now with baseball not even happening, like how are you getting through?
Yeah, no, it's I still live with my parents and at home here in Chicago. And I've said it numerous times, I wouldn't be able to play baseball if it weren't for them, especially, you know, after college where I didn't have a job and obviously I had, you know, no money. It's like, I just got through college, so I wasn't working a job, and, they've supported me through it all. You know, they've helped me with my training, with my nutrition, obviously let me live with them. So my parents obviously have sacrificed so much for me and, have helped me so much, especially through this time, but I mean, throughout my life, and my career, but yeah, they've been paying us $400 a week, all minor leaguers. And that's going to end here, pretty soon. I think I forget when, but, I did the math, and by me not having to pay rent, which was, you know, around $500 to $600 per month, and me not having to pay any
That's huge.
Club, yeah, without having to pay any club dues, which is about on average $10 per clubby. So wherever you go, it's you got to pay the clubby $10 per day. So that's another, you know, $70 a week that I don't have to pay. And then with the stimulus check that I'm getting in the mail, I'm going to actually make more money than I did in previous years. You know, seriously though, I mean, cause I don't have to pay rent, and, you know, my parents are covering my meals here at home. So, I mean, I'm kind of coming out on top with cash, but I know, again, I know a lot of minor leaguers aren't in that same situation, and I'm feeling for them for sure.
But also I wondered about that, because when that news came out a few weeks ago where they were going to pay minor leaguers $400 a week, a lot of people on Twitter were saying, well, that's ridiculous. They should be making more than that. And I said, man, you guys don't know that minor leaguers don't really make that much money. And for some of these guys, they might be better off with this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said, if you're not paying rent, and obviously we don't have to pay any club dues, so I mean, that's an extra $70 in your pocket per week. It's definitely, I think it's, I mean, it's good. I think, could it be better? Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, minor leaguers are so well-trained in, being, economical, I guess you could say.
Well, you have no choice but to be economical, I think.
Right.
But, you're, Your other choice is to make the show, and then you make the dough, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the goal.
I just made that up. That's pretty good.
That's
make
not bad.
The show, you make the dough. Yeah, I should patent that one. So that's great that your parents aren't making you pay rent. That was going to be one of my questions during your thing. Are they taking some of that $400 a week? But no, that's incredible.
Yeah. No, my family is, I mean, super supportive. And especially when I didn't get drafted too, they're like, we're here to support you. We fully believe in you, and we'll do whatever we need to do, you know, whatever we need to pay to get you wherever you need to go. I mean, they're paying for me for flights to go to tryouts in Arizona and Florida and hotels. And I mean, they did it all for me. So, you know, I can't thank them enough.
That's awesome. Now, what was the backup plan just in case you didn't get that call? I know you talked, you know, briefly about finding a job or something like that. Did you have something that you were going to do? What was the thought process there?
Yeah, I didn't have anything like solid per se. Like I said, I had a finance degree, so I could always, you know, whatever, go get the 9-to-5 and, you know, sit in my cubicle and do that. But, yeah. I was going to play until they took the jersey off my back. You know, as soon as I got that indie ball job, and the way that indie ball works is you get in, you know, you put up a couple good years, and now you're kind of set. You can kind of go wherever you want. You can start making more money, especially as you progress. You become like a LS1 after you're a rookie, then a LS2, LS3, and then you become a veteran. And then, you know, your pay goes up and up and up. And I think the minimum salary was $1,200 per month. In the American Association, which is the same as what it is in affiliate ball, for an entry level contract. Really? But the again, the club dues in indie ball were only $2 per day versus $10 per day. So again, I mean, it's a huge difference. But and nobody ever talks about that, you know, because it's all just cash paid under the table. You literally bring your money up to the clubby and you hand it to him, and that's it. You know, he doesn't document it. It's tax free, and you know, it's under the table. But yeah, my plan was to play until, like I said, until they took the jersey off my back, and I was going to try to put in a couple of good years in independent ball, and even try to go overseas. I know a lot of guys go over to Japan and Korea, and they got independent ball leagues over there that, you know, they pay, you know, $3,000 to $5,000 per month, and they set you up with, you know, your living and,
wow,
and transportation. Yeah, so that was kind of in the back of my head, you know, and I wanted to have some life experience too, you know, going out of the country and, you know, maybe he'll play in Australia if I could. I had a couple buddies that did that, and just kind of use baseball as
they've like got a fun league down there.
They do, yeah, yeah. It's actually now I think it's 80% owned by the MLB now, actually, which is kind of crazy. But it was definitely something that I was always interested in doing, and you know, still am. I'd love to play winter ball somewhere, you know, maybe like Puerto Rico or like the Dominican Republic or something. I think that'd be sweet.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Now, did you ever that you could play hockey? I know you were a hockey player as you grew up. Was that ever an option that you could try to do that professionally?
Yeah, no, it definitely was. And with hockey, those guys, you know, I had the choice when I was like 14 if I was gonna like leave my house and go live with a billet family up in Michigan, because I grew up in Michigan and we moved back to Chicago, and like I was all like, oh, hockey, but then I got to Chicago and hockey just wasn't as big, and like the teams just weren't there like for development purposes. And so I kind of started leaning towards baseball. But yeah, when I just moved to Chicago, we were kind of like, man, there's no hockey around here. Do you want to go back to Michigan and live with a family and, you know, have a host family? I'm like 14 years old. I don't want to leave my house. I don't want to leave you guys, you know?
Like, oh, man.
So yeah, I was like a Team Illinois USA development player. Back in middle school. But once I hit high school, I kind of was like, okay, you know, I talked to my parents, like, we want to go with baseball. Baseball is going to be the sport. I'm going to play hockey throughout high school just for fun. I played with my older brother. Some of the greatest memories that, you know, I'll ever have playing sports. But, yeah, hockey was kind of after I got, you know, my freshman year under my belt of high school, it was kind of like, okay, like baseball is what I want to do.
I think the hockey life is harder than baseball life. I mean, those guys are up early practicing every single day, and you guys can sleep in a little bit before practice, I think, for baseball.
Yeah, well, hey, I wouldn't mind waking up early if I was making, you know, 40 to 50,000 in the minors, which is what they're making. So,
oh wow.
True. Good point. Yeah, good point. So maybe the earlier you wake up, the more money you can make playing hockey. Okay.
If that's what it takes, I'll do it.
Too late now, though, right? You've been out of it too long now.
Yeah, exactly.
So how you're what, 25 years old?
25, yes.
25, all right. So what was the plan for this year? Were you still going to be an A-ball? Were they moving you up to Double-A? What was the plan that the Red Sox had for you this year?
Yeah, tentatively, I was in Double-A. I was playing on the Double-A team in spring training. And then I backed up a decent amount of big league games as well. I had my meeting, and they said that, you know, tentatively, because you never know in spring training, you know, and I understand totally. So, you know, when they told me, like, yeah, like, we're expecting you to go to Double-A, you know, but nothing's ever for certain until, you know, the last day of spring training. And I understand for sure. So, yeah, that was the plan.
What's it like playing at JetBlue Park down there in Fort Myers?
Yeah, Fort Myers, Florida. It's incredible. Yeah, it's I mean, I know you guys are New York guys, but Fenway is it's all time for sure. And having JetBlue down there, an exact replica of it, is it's really cool for sure.
That's on my bucket list places to go to check out. Now, I'm a diehard Yankee. And Fenway Park is my second favorite ballpark that I've been to. I've been there twice.
Okay.
I absolutely loved it. And my son was six at the time when we saw a game. We did a tour once, and I was wearing all Yankee stuff, and they were ragging on me. We went to a game. They were playing the White Sox, and my son was six, stood up and started screaming, "Let's go Yankees," I wanted to get out of there. Yeah. But nothing happened. Nothing happened. Because he was only 6 years old.
Right.
But I absolutely love Fenway Park. So obviously, you ever get that call up there, which I hope you do, boy, that's going to be something else to step out on that field for the first time.
Yeah, I had never been to Boston before, and I went there in September to accept the Defensive Player of the Year award, and I got to bring my family to a game and everything. And it was incredible going on the field and standing on the foul line getting my award there. It was something else.
It'll be better in uniform, I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Can't wait.
I can't wait to see you up there. We're going to keep an eye on you and follow you along the way. Maybe we can keep in touch with you over the next couple of years.
Definitely.
And see where you go and get you back on the show here. But
yeah, that would be great.
What was it like getting that award, the Defensive Player of the Year in the Red Sox minor league organization?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's definitely a highlight of my career for sure, but for me, I think the coolest part was having my family there to see it. When I didn't get drafted, my parents watched the draft my senior year. I don't know why. I knew I wasn't getting drafted, but they watched the draft. And, after the draft was over, I was about to head to the gym, and they come over to me, and they're both crying. And I got them both in my arms. You know, they're on my shoulder. And they're crying. Like, we're so sorry. Like, you know, we know this was a dream of yours, and we feel like we've let you down. And I'm like, I'm almost laughing because I'm like, guys, like, this isn't over. Like, we're going to figure it out. I'm going to do something. Like, we're going to play. Like, I know I can play. Like, we're going to figure it out. And then to go from seeing that to having them on the field at Fenway with me, crying again, different tears this time. But to watch them and have them experience that was super special for me.
That is so cool.
That's very cool. Very cool indeed. I'm looking at your stats and stuff, and the numbers have gotten better. Your offensive numbers have gone up the last couple of years. That's got to feel good. You're heading in the right direction starting the year in Double-A. Your goal for, you know, making the big leagues, when do you think it's going to happen? Is that even something you can say? Because you don't know when you're even going to play again right now.
Yeah, no kidding. I don't, the timetable is just, you never know. You got to look at the prospects and who's in front of you. And, I've tried to.
And you're a shortstop, by the way. We didn't mention that. You're a shortstop.
Yeah, shortstop. I've talked to them becoming more of a utility guy, because that's kind of what a role that they need filled at the big league level. And they don't really have, guys that can play short, that can play second, play third. And I went to instructional league this past off season for outfield. So they're trying to add that to my repertoire
really?
As well. Yeah. So, I told
wouldn't
them,
hurt,
I said,
right?
Oh, I said, I'll throw on the catcher's gear if you need me to. I'll do whatever. So yeah, it's up in the air, but they said that I'm on the right track and I'm progressing. So it's pretty much all I can control at this point.
My dream job in the major league, bullpen catcher. That guy gets paid. He gets to hang out with the team and travel all over to all the stadiums and stuff. That's like dream job stuff right there.
Uniform and everything.
Yeah, no, it's honestly, I think that's a real vital role on teams. Those bullpen catchers. I mean, you got to have that sixth tool. I know they talk about five tool players, but that sixth tool of entertainment. Man, if you're a six tool player, I mean you're going to the show. And if you're not going to show, you're gonna at least be a bullpen catcher.
That's awesome. Now name some names. Who is a six tool player that you've played with this past spring training? How many of them are in the Red Sox organization?
I met one, believe it or not, a catcher. His name is Jet Bandy. That guy is an absolute gem. I mean, he was in big league camp and I was a minor leaguer, so I would only see him when I would back up to big league games, but I kind of got to know him just sitting on the bench with them and stuff. And oh my God, he had me rolling for 9 innings. Like just off the top of his head, phenomenal dude.
Jet Bandy. I wrote it down. I'm going to look him up after and see if there's any good stuff on Twitter with him and follow him on Twitter or something like
cool.
that.
Cool.
All right. So that's the one time when you want to name names. I'm not going to ask you who's the opposite of that. Who's not funny? Who's all that? You don't want to name names like that. Not in your situation.
Yeah,
right
definitely.
Now. Yeah, we need you to stay positive with the Reds. Wish you the best of luck, Mike. Did you have anything else? I don't want to hold him up anymore here today on this Saturday.
No, I was just wondering, like, what was it like, you know, when you were in spring training and everything starts happening with the coronavirus, like the NBA game is getting canceled and everything, but then spring training was still going on. Like, what was it like down there? Were you guys expecting a shutdown or how did it all go down? And
yeah,
good question.
It was quick. We, when the coronavirus really started kind of like hitting, we had had a meeting about a week before we had left. Obviously we didn't know we were going to be leaving in a week, but we had a big meeting of, we all congregated in the cafeteria, all sitting one feet apart from each other. So that probably wasn't good, but, we had the head of our doctor's department there. He was talking and, hey, you got to use the hand sanitizer. No more high fives, no more fist bumps. Like, we're all going around hitting each other's elbows, just stuff like that. And then a week later, the day before we left, we had all these other teams had been sent home already. And then we had another meeting and they said, hey, we're going to continue as usual. The government said that we don't have to go home yet. So we're going to stay. So and some of the guys brought up concerns like, hey, I live with my grandparents. What if I bring it home to them? Then what? Like, does that fall on you guys? Or I don't know if I'll be able to live with myself if I do that. So they're like, oh, well, come talk to us. Like, we'll figure it out. And they're like, but we're going to proceed as usual. So we had practice that day, the full day. I think we had an inter squad at the end of the day. And then we all went back to our places and they said, they texted us. We got an app where they can message us all at once. And they said, hey, stay by your phones. Like, we're going to have an update on the coronavirus and what we're going to do. So, we're all just, waiting to see, holy cow, are we going to have to pack up right now and go home? Like, what's the deal? And then about 2 hours later, we got a message saying pretty much, in short, it was just like, hey, come back to JetBlue and pack up either today or tomorrow. We need you out of here by, Sunday. And it was – I think it was Friday at that point or something. So,
wow. Oh gosh.
Yeah. So I went, I went to the stadium right away. I figured, it was going to be a mess, if I went there the next day. So I packed up my car and I started driving the next morning. I started driving from Florida back to Chicago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I remember all that stuff went down with the NBA getting canceled and then the NCAA basketball games were getting canceled. But then I'm watching MLB Network and there's still spring training games going on. And I was texting Todd. I'm like, how are they still playing ball right now?
Yep. Yeah. No,
so that's why I was wondering crazy. About how it was going, how it went with you guys.
Yeah. That's it was quick.
Well, I guess the good thing about this whole thing is you're all in the same boat together. Everyone's in the same place, trying to just to get back back and play again. No one's going to have an advantage if you do start playing again this year. But what happens if you don't play again this year? What are you guys going to do? I obviously just sit and wait, but it's got to be crushing. I mean, for these some of these guys and you.
Yeah, no, definitely, especially for guys. I think just like me, who are kind of getting to their prime years. You know, I'm trying to capitalize on a small window here, but. I mean, I can only control so much, so it's not something that I'm really going to worry about. I definitely have my plan for how I'm going to develop, whether the year goes out or not. I'm not going to worry about it. Like I said, I got some coaches in place that are going to help me to, compete at the big league level, regardless of whether or not we play games. And then when we come back, I just, hopefully it's soon, but when we come back, hopefully I'll be ready to show them that, hey, I got what it takes to play at the show.
Well, I know you'll be ready because you're sitting there with a bat in your hand. And as we're tall, so do you sleep with your bat too? I've heard some guys say that.
I have before. I did it in college once when I really needed some hits. But, no, and I haven't done it in a while.
Well, do it tonight. Maybe that'll this coronavirus thing will go away. Let's try it. We'll all sleep with a bat tonight.
Okay.
See what happens. Yeah. All right, Ryan, thank you so much for joining us. We've really appreciated the time and the effort to be on with us. Throw out your social media so people can follow you.
Yeah, I'm on Instagram. I'm Ryry This Guy. Twitter, I'm also Ryry This Guy, except it ends in two Y's on Twitter. My old one got kind of hacked, so I had to get a new one. That's where I'm at. I got a TikTok too. It's the same thing.
Oh.
Ryry This Guy, one Y. And then YouTube, same thing, Ryry This Guy. So if you're looking to check in on me, I throw content out there every now and then. I think I did a video the other day just kind of on what I'm doing in quarantine. So if you want to check that out, it's on YouTube and Instagram. So.
Cool. Definitely check that out. Thank you. All right. Yep. And TikTok, we're too old for TikTok.
Yeah.
I might check it out. I don't know. I don't quite understand the whole thing, but that's not just me. It's him too.
Yeah.
But thank you so much. We're gonna follow you along the way. Best of luck, and I hope to see you and your family wearing Red Sox jerseys soon. Okay.
I hope so too. Thanks for having me on, guys. Really enjoyed it.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Take care.
Have a good one.
Hello and welcome back to Apples and Pinstripes. I don't think it actually had started yet, so I think we're okay. I'll have to listen back to that one. Mike was being nasty on his end, but it's all good now. And Mike's never nasty, which is funny.
I was saying something very innocent that was taken the wrong way, out of context.
Taken out of context? No. Sure you were. Anyway, thank you so much again to Ryan Fitzgerald. That was so much fun.
That was awesome.
What a good and fun guest to have. The insight, like you said, the story he told about his family. That's awesome. And that's like, say what you told me. Tell them what you told me.
What did I tell you? No, I just thought it was great. Like to hear like the support that he gets from his family and like that's what I hope for my son. Like my son's only 10 years old, but like he's a pretty good baseball player and he loves to play baseball. He wants to be a professional baseball player, which I mean, didn't we all at 10 years old? And for him to have that, just the level of success he's gotten to so far and to share that with his parents and his brothers and his family, like that's just it's so cool.
That is so cool. And he is 25, so this year where baseball is stopped is not going to help him, obviously, because by 25, 26, you want to be, getting moving up. But he did move up last year. He was going to be in Double A this year. I would love for him to get back to playing, have a big season, move up again and get to the big leagues, because how cool would that be for him and his family with all the support he's gotten over the years to be able to pay them back with, that with him making it all the way to the show. That would just be an incredible story. And I'm glad he's a friend of ours now. We could say he's a friend of the pod. And we're going to have Ryan back on someday. And I hope that the season commences so we can get him on while he's playing. We can hear about things that are, you know, happening during the season. And a lot. So that was a lot of fun for me. And I know it was a lot of fun for you, too.
Yeah, the only good thing with this delay and everything is everyone is in the same boat. So everyone's going to have to knock off the same amount of rust when it all kicks back in again. So
yeah, there's only so much you can do in a batting cage and so much you can do in your backyard throwing off a portable mound if you're a pitcher, and you need game action. And like you said, they're going to have to knock off rust and everyone on the same boat, and it's not going to be held against anyone, you know, for missing all this time. And guys that were hurt are going to be healthy. So it's going to be interesting. And I'm not confident that there'll be a season. I'm hoping there will be. But, man, I wish Ryan nothing but the best of luck and looking forward to following him along the way.
Sorry, even if there is a major league season, I find it hard to believe that there would be any minor league baseball, because I know that one thing they were saying about, like, you know, where I am in Syracuse, where we have a Triple-A ball club, you know, Major League Baseball can get by playing in front of no fans. Minor League Baseball kind of can't. They need that revenue. Yeah. They don't have TV deals. You know, they need people in the seats buying concessions and, you know, paying for tickets. So I don't know if you're going to have minor league. You might have Major League Baseball, even though I'm kind of doubting that. But I minor league baseball, I just don't know.
Yeah, you're right. And there's a real good chance there isn't going to be minor league baseball. They will, I would think, expand rosters at the major league level, like beyond, way beyond what it normally is. So some of these guys might get a chance to play this year if they get called up. But, I mean, someone that's, you know, just up into Double-A probably isn't going to be on that major league roster this year. So he's going to have to shut it down if there's no minor league season. And, you know, the collegiate, he couldn't play collegiate ball. I don't know about the independent leagues. I'm sure it's all going to get wiped out.
Well, like he said, the Cape Cod League already canceled their season, and you know, there's a lot of other collegiate leagues that are, you know, still waiting to see what they're going to do. But
the
problem is nobody knows.
Right. The NYCBL is still not canceled, right?
Not officially as of yet, no.
And I don't think the Perfect Game Collegiate Baseball League, that which also has teams around this area, our area, has canceled anything yet either. So
yeah, I was checking their social media. They have not had an update since the middle of March on their social media. So
yeah, it's just nothing is, no one knows anything. So everyone's just kind of holding on until they can't hold on anymore. I just want to see some kind of baseball this year. It's fun, kind of fun watching the Chinese baseball league and the Korean baseball league stuff, but it's just not the same. It's not the same. And they have mannequins sitting in the seats. Did you see that?
They really? No, I haven't seen that.
In the Chinese Professional Baseball League, the CPBL, they haven't filled all the seats, but they've randomly put mannequins around in all the stadiums wearing their team uniforms and hats and pennants and holding food and things. And they're pumping in crowd noise. So they're trying to make it like someone's there, but it's just not the same. Just not the same. Oh, well. Oh, well. So that was a lot of fun. I think we'll wrap it up on that note. Ryan, again, good luck. And we'd love to see you in a big league uniform someday. And I'm going to go Google Jet Bandy right now and look him up on Twitter.
And he also addressed another thing that I always wonder about with every professional baseball player is, who did you grow up rooting for? And then you know, it's just so interesting that he grew up a Yankee fan and now he's in the Red Sox organization.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And that's funny. He brought that up to me before we even went on, before we connected with you. I finally got him on. We had trouble getting him on this morning. We finally did, but it was once we were chatting, I said, you know, I it's funny that you're a Red Sox guy on a Yankee Met podcast. I apologize for the Yankee hat that I'm wearing. He goes, man, I grew up a Yankee fan. It's good with me. I'm like, so we're going to have to break that one to Mike. I don't know how happy he'll be with that. So, yeah, him and his brother's big Yankee fans. And here he is playing for the Red Sox. But,
and he grew up in Michigan, too.
That's what I was thinking. He'd be a Tigers fan because he grew up in Michigan. And or a Cubs or White Sox fan because he lived in Chicago a long time. But no, Yankee fan. So there you go. You know what? Again, if I was a Red Sox, if my son played for the Red Sox, I would like the Red Sox too. And now all the other stuff would go away.
Something we never even talked about. My son played Little League baseball, and he was on the Yankees. And I'm one of his coaches. And they handed me a Yankee hat.
And you complained. You complained about it.
I did complain about it. But guess what? I put on the Yankee hat, and I was his coach. Like, I mean, so what?
He lined the Yankee hat with plastic wrap so it wouldn't touch his hair. So, but whatever.
So it wouldn't burn my head.
It's all good.
And it's scorch marks on my forehead from that hat.
And that story is the exact same story as Ryan's story.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I put the stupid Yankee hat on for a little league team.
Right.
Well, if my son played Major League Baseball for the Yankees, I will be the biggest Yankee fan you will ever see.
Man, I hope that happens. God, I hope that happens. Please let that happen, because I have a ticket connection then. Troy can leave us tickets. Oh, my gosh. That would be the best. You wearing Yankees 3930s and Yankees fleece and Yankees dry fit T-shirts. Oh, man. That would make my...
Me sick now.
That would make my millennium right there. Oh, come on, Troy, you can do it.
I'll wear a Mets dry fit underneath all my Yankee jerseys, but...
No, you won't, because you'd sweat too much. All right, well, that's gonna do it. Again, if folks want to check out Ryan on the social media, it's kind of funny how his Twitter account got hacked, so he had to add a extra Y at the end. It's that guy. At Ryry that guy, and the Twitter one has the extra Y at the end.
Ryry this guy.
This guy? Oh. Did I write it down wrong? I wrote it down wrong.
I was wondering before before he said he got hacked, I thought, what was there another Ryry this guy? So you had to but no, he got hacked and he had to start a new one.
Ryry this guy. I don't know what I'm saying. I wrote it down right. I read it wrong. Ryry this guy. I don't have my glasses on that I read small print with. That's a bad excuse because I never wear them because I don't really need them. But Ryry this guy on all the social medias. Go check him out. Follow along. Even on TikTok. I might have to search him out on TikTok and look at those TikToks that he's done. But he didn't say anything about Snapchat.
No.
That's okay. Maybe he's too old for Snapchat. Yeah, it really has. I must say, I have the TikTok app on my phone, and I do watch them every now and again, but I don't get it. I think it's the stupidest thing. Most of that stuff is all fake. It's dumb.
I do not have TikTok, but anytime I go on Instagram, I keep seeing TikTok videos on there, and it looks really dumb. So,
yeah,
but
it is. It is.
Their own. If you like it, go ahead and like it. That's cool. Well,
you can also follow us on social media. You can follow me. I just use my name, Todd Emanuele. Or you can search for the Todd Father. I have that on Twitter. Mike, how can folks get in touch with you and see all your stuff? I know you have an easier way just to check out all your social medias.
Yeah, michaelborkowski.com. It's got a link on the top to all my social media. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I think that's about it.
All right, what are you working on right now that you can talk about that folks can check out? Anything recent that you can mention?
I'm doing storyboards right now on something I can't talk about.
Fun?
And
awesome. Awesome for the show.
Hopefully soon I can talk about it. I do have Topps cards for Marvel Collect coming out on their app every so often. I've done a bunch of stuff for them that they haven't released yet, so... and you can check the ones that have been released. You can either check out on that app or you can go on my website. I got them on there. So those are fun.
Cool. Yeah, it's great stuff, too. You got to check out the Topps apps. If you have an older phone, they drain your battery. if you have a newer phone, I have a newer phone. It's great.
Oh, my God. I might. How old's your phone?
Probably 5-6 months.
Oh, wow. Do you know how old mine is?
Yours is like he's got an iPhone 3, folks.
I have an iPhone 6, and I've had it for almost 5.5 years. And that's ancient. I really had no... It is ancient. It's probably 137 in phone years.
It is, yeah.
I really had no reason to change it or to upgrade until recently. Like, it gets extremely hot, especially when I'm using those Topps apps. Like, it gets so hot, I have to, like, put it down. And the battery, like, drains, like, unbelievably fast.
You think
I have to charge my phone, like, 3 times a day.
You think it's because it's slow. You think because it's so old, it would get cold. Because the older people get, they get cold, you know? The phone should get cold, not hot.
It's very hot when it has to do hard work.
It's 137 in people years or in phone years. That's phone great. Years.
Yeah. So I have ordered a new phone, and hopefully it's coming very soon because this phone is driving me nuts all of a sudden.
Oh, you're gonna be like high tech all of a sudden and not know what to do with yourself.
Gonna blow my mind.
Yep. You'll be like I said to you before. You'll be able to text using like a normal keypad, and
well, you know, most of the time when people send me emojis, I just have question marks. The actual emojis don't show because I haven't upgraded my phone because I'm afraid it'll break it.
You probably can't upgrade that to the latest stuff anyway.
I probably can't. Like, the upgrade is there, but I'm afraid to run it because the update. I've done that in the past and it like makes my phone unusable and I can't have that right now. So
yeah, no.
Until I get my new phone, there's no reason to update it. So
all right.
Yeah.
Well, good luck, sending girl. Number one.
I think that's number two, but that's okay. We're going to call it a day. And again, I'm going to thank Ryan again, Ryan Fitzgerald. Awesome interview with him. And we really appreciate him coming on. Like he said to me, he goes, I'm available anytime, any day. I got nothing going on. That's what he said to me before. So it's good stuff. When he's not working out with his brother or having a meal from his mom. What? He can what?
He can be the third co-host.
I would love that. That would be awesome to have him on there.
Pulls, pinstripes, and what? Beans?
That doesn't really roll off the tongue. Apple, little Mikey would have to redo our song and add in beans at the end. Apples and pinstripes and beans.
Or just socks.
But he's a Yankee fan, so it counts. It counts towards the pinstripes. It's all good.
You got to keep that quiet, though, because if he does get to the show and he's on the Red Sox.
Oh, yeah. The fans probably would not like to hear that, but
it's happened before. That's why I always think it's interesting. I always think it's interesting that nobody really ever talks about like what teams players were fans. Because I guarantee you, whatever team you root for, your favorite player probably didn't root for that team when they were a kid. So
right, unless you're Derek Jeter, he was a Yankee fan.
Or David Wright was David a Wright fan when he was a kid.
It's the minority, I'm sure. Like you said, it's got to be the minority that these guys grow up. And now, of course, you have a better chance of being or growing up a Yankee or a Red Sox fan because those were the games that were on national TV all the time, too, if you live somewhere else. So you may, like guys older than Ryan, grew up Yankee fans because that's the only games you could find on TV, you know? Right. So it's funny how it works. But that is definitely a question that has to be asked of minor league, major league players. Who did you grow up rooting for? Because it is interesting to see who they say and how many guys actually play for the team they rooted for. Not many. All right.
Obviously Gerrit Cole grew up a Yankee fan.
Yep.
And he pitched against the Yankees in massive games.
Yep.
Playoff games, you know, like ALCS. Like, that's great. Like, you're going, Todd, what if you made the big show? And you're pitching against the Yankees in the ALCS. Like,
I don't even know how to respond to that because obviously I'm not in that situation. But would I, in my brain right now, where I'm not being paid millions of dollars by an organization, right, I would be like, oh, hey, Aaron Judge is up. I'm just going to groove him one and see how far he can hit it because secretly I'm cheering for the Yankees. I don't think it works like that once you get there.
I mean, once you're a professional ball player, I'm sure that all just goes out the window and you're just trying to win and do your best, of course.
Right.
In the back of your mind, you got to be like, geez, man.
It's crazy.
This is rough.
It's got to be my favorite team, you know? Yep, got to be crazy. But what a cool situation to be in. Actually, I would love to actually feel what that feels like, but it's too late for me now. Too late for me now. Oh, well, false ending number four. And we are good. So until next time, thank you for listening. Again, go search for us. Give us reviews, feedback, anything. We'd love to hear from you. Tell us something you want us to talk about or look into and have on an upcoming episode, and we can do that for you. Again, we're available everywhere you get your podcasts, and leave us a review and all that good stuff. So until next time, this has been episode 16 of Apples and Pinstripes. Bye.
Bye.
Todd likes the Yankees and Mike likes the Mets. Todd's life has been championships and Mike's have been regrets. Apples and pinstripes from spring training.